Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margo, big show today, the big breakfast. Cool. And thanks for downloading the listener app and having a listen to the show that you might have missed this morning.
Yeah. Thank you. Welcome.
Hey,
hello.
Hey, what are you going to do with that video you just took and you were laughing your head off at me ironing a shirt during the show?
Well, no, what I'm laughing about is not you ironing a shirt, Marto, is that you delegated the task off to somebody, which you said you were going to do. You said you were going to air task the ironing of your shirt because I'm busy. I can't. Doing a radio show.
He wasn't happy because I originally, at 5 o'clock this morning, I offered him a 50 to do three
shirts.
And then
you gave him a 20.
It's like $3 each or something.
Yeah, well, that's when I found that out. I said, you know, I'm not giving you a 50, and we didn't shake on it, but Jack still started to do the shirts and I felt a bit
Jack
bad.
Was out there ironing your shirts and
Jack's
you
a 29 year old
threw $20 at him.
Very intelligent man. And oh yeah, we
he
go
said,
back
I didn't get into radio for this.
No, I know. I know.
I'm not Marto Schlepper.
Is it an HR problem, do you think?
Have I ever told you Jack years ago painted my hair?
You said he didn't do a very good job.
Oh, no. See, there's some shit when I say it, you don't say again, because Jack will hear this. Well, no, he
Jack doesn't
that.
Listen to the podcast.
He did.
He's too busy
that.
Ironing your shirts, painting your house, and whatever else it is that you get him to do.
How good is it to live in Roman times and have a slave?
What did your last one die of?
No, he's been my one for the last 8 years or so, Jack. He's a bloody champion.
The Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast. Enjoy. Triple M.
Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
And appropriately enough, on this of all days, Remembrance Day, we've got a very special guest, the President of Legacy Queensland, Andrew Craig. Good morning, mate.
Good morning.
I guess explain to everybody what Legacy does, because it's such an important role.
Right, Legacy. Well, it's been in existence nearly 100 years. Our 100-year anniversary is in 2023. And what we look after are the families of those service men and women who have given either their lives or their health in the service of their country.
You yourself served in the Royal Australian Navy for 30-odd years as a pilot. What does Remembrance Day mean for you? And what is the messaging of Remembrance Day for those who might not be so familiar with it?
Two stages of that. Firstly, as far as I'm concerned, Remembrance Day is a nail in the plank of the year where we can actually reflect on those, certainly in my case, my comrades who did indeed provide the supreme sacrifice. Now, in the broader context, I think when you look at the history of Australia's military achievement in the 20th and 21st century, it's a great opportunity for all of our community to reflect on the very large number of Australians who did give their lives or indeed their health in the service of their country.
Can you give us a specific memory? I know the story because we've done some archive work, etc., with the State Library, but in Vietnam you got hit by some ground fire and ended up going into some sort of a spiral. We've seen it on movies, but you lived it as the pilot. It went through the canopy of trees and it ended up landing flat. What... Did anyone get killed? I never read the full details.
No, fortunately, nobody got killed.
When are we? Are we late 60s?
No, we're 13th of June, 1968.
You kind of remember it a bit, huh? How many men did you have on board? A mate of mine was one of the pilots on the Black Hawk up in Townsville.
Oh, okay.
He saved a lot of men's lives, Captain David Burke.
Right.
So I'm interested in this, because that was at night time. That was incredible, and I think 15 men died that day. Yeah. What happened with your guys?
Okay, I was flying with the Australian Navy helicopter flight, which was integrated into the US Army 135th Assault Helicopter Company. And before the RAAF had the strength to move the Australian Task Force, the 135th
did
that.
You guys did it, yep.
Yeah. And we were moving two battalions from Nui Dat up to somewhere like Swan Mock, I think. We'd pick them up perhaps halfway there, trundling along at about...
How many did you have on board?
Four people. Two pilots. It's a gunship, so two pilots and two air crewmen. We were trundling along about 1,000 feet, and some guy on the ground just got lucky and hit us.
Had a ping.
The aircraft became completely uncontrollable, so we simply rode it down to the ground, and it was just sheer luck that we hit flat. I mean, if it had been 3 seconds either side, we'd have been upside down or inside out or who knows where. Wow. So we were just dead lucky.
Andrew, can you tell our listeners today, what should we be doing? Is it 11 o'clock this morning? What should be happening on this, the 11th of the 11th?
On Remembrance Day? I would like to think that at 11 o'clock, people just might pause and consider what this means and why we're doing it. And I think it's terribly important that in, how would I describe it, institutions, schools, say, that schools make a point of pausing at 11 o'clock and the teachers can explain to the kids why that's important and why 11 o'clock's important and why indeed the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month is important, which of course is the armistice in the First War. But then that same philosophy, I suppose, carries across to all the conflicts in which we've had Australian servicemen involved.
Well, the respect and the honour needs to be retained through, you know, our future generations. They all stopped down for a horse race, you know, just weeks ago. So it's definitely something that I think should be brought in to schools, to offices, to workplaces where we do stop down and reflect and remember. I think it's really important.
I think it's terribly important too, because if we don't, we'll lose the lose it. And that would be a terrible pity for all sorts of reasons.
Mm. Andrew Craig, thanks for opening everyone's minds and telling us what today is about. And if anyone's trying to collect for legacy, please help them out. They do an amazing job.
Support the RSLs as well.
Indeed. Mm. Indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you for having me.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo, I don't know whether it's rude, but we have to have a photo taken to later on today, photo shoot, whatever you call it. And they told me to bring in some shirts. I don't understand what a block colour is.
Just like all one colour, no print.
Well, that's
Jamie
what I did.
Is wearing a print. You are wearing a block colour.
Oh, I got
well done.
Oh, I blew it. All right, so I brought
in
three
colours. I'm not wearing that shirt, though.
No. Okay, great. It's got food all over it. But no, they said bring in three shirts, but they're unironed. And I'm just looking at them because I don't know. We haven't unpacked our iron in the 3 months we've lived at our new rental.
Yeah, I'm not big on ironing.
No, so I brought them in and is it bad of me to offer it up to, because there's a lot of people work in this office and one of them would probably need a few bucks.
We've got
bucks.
An iron in the change rooms.
Yeah,
here.
But I haven't got time. I've gone on my air and then we've got to go straight away. I'm going to air tasker it out, office air tasker, like just say
to somebody in the office.
Somebody wants some money to iron three shirts. Is that wrong?
I wouldn't group all email it.
No.
No, but I'll just yell it out. I don't send any emails to anyone, but just yell out, does anyone want a bit of dough? Because there'll be a young person who'll go, I'm hungry, I need 20 or 30, well, I don't know what the price is. How much do you pay to do the ironing?
Well, I don't know. I'm
but
not
this
familiar
is how
with this because I just iron right. Corey's shirts if they need ironing, or he irons them himself. Do you want me to iron them for you?
No. Oh, how much? How much?
I'll do it for free.
But this is this concept of air tasker, because this is what I do during the day. My wife's got so many single girlfriends that can't, you know, need a hand, need a ute. Yesterday afternoon, do you see all that rubbish in the back of my ute?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of her girlfriends. Can you drive past such and such a place and there'll be all this rubbish out the front? Can you take it to the dump?
How much did she pay you?
Zero.
Oh, well, that's not...
But she normally does air tasker, because do you know about this air tasker?
Well, Corey, I guess, did an element of it this week. He's got that injured arm. Hey. You know, he had surgery on his arm.
How's that going?
All right. Yeah, it's all right. And he pulled all that plasterboard down when I asked him to do that little DIY reno.
Oh, has it been sitting
in the rain?
It's
been sitting in the trailer and he can't dump it out. Oh. I offered to do it, but he knew that that wasn't going to happen. So he paid our mate's son, who's 19, $50. It took him under an hour. He took the trailer off, dumped it, brought it back, and it was done.
I know. One of Kath's single girlfriends needed some furniture moved the other day, put it on this air tasker. Someone came over, $25. Move some furniture around the house.
Incredible.
It is incredible, Airtasker. Can we go? We've never spoken about it. 133353. What have you paid for or been paid for?
Paid someone to do my groceries on Airtasker.
No
really?
Way.
Yeah, just cheese platter stuff. I didn't have time and I had people coming over and I couldn't go out.
And it worked?
Yeah, and it worked.
How much that cost? 10, 15, 20?
Well, the groceries plus then $50.
Coles delivers, just so you know.
I know, but yeah. I needed it that, within the hour. Sure.
All right, so
Kelly.
It's for emergencies. Well, it's for people who can't do specific jobs
or
don't want to.
Well, they don't have a friend with a ute, so they're like, I need to find someone with a ute, Airtasker. Plenty of blokes with utes, I'm sure. Someone to move furniture.
But it used to just be a carton of beer or a bottle of rum to move some stuff.
But people are busy. They don't have time anymore.
All right.
Kelly from Morningside, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. Kelly, have you used Airtasker before?
Yes, to put wretched IKEA furniture together.
The flat pack.
And bookcases and a set of drawers, because every time my husband does it, he bloody chips something or whatever, so I thought I'd get some Airtasker people, and it worked really well.
Okay. It only leads to a divorce, doesn't it, flat pack furniture,
can
I find.
Can I defend your
hubby?
Can I defend the hubby? The thing is, I find with that IKEA, well, any of that flat pack stuff, the first time, even, you know, if I'm a carpenter, the first time's hard. The second time,
time, piece of piss. So you should have just give the hubby another go. Oh, no.
We're leaving this beautiful city so to head back home to Melbourne because of his job. So we might have to, I might get let him have another go of putting it together.
Putting it together when you get down the other end.
Kelly, just on that note, why are you leaving Queensland? I've never heard of such
thing. His job. I know.
My hubby worked for one of the footy clubs up here and he's got a job down in Melbourne.
Oh, does he?
Well, like AFL, Kelly?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. We should dig further, but we won't.
We don't want to
Kel,
pry
all the
into
best.
Your personal
We're going to miss you
life,
as a listener.
Maybe I should invite her to Margaritas with Margo,
so
and I can get her drunk and pass some information.
Let her husband go. She can stay. Weirdest. Hey, listen to this one on the burner phone. Weirdest Airtasker jobs being advertised. Bathe my pet parrot. $105 for that. Drive my pug dog from Newcastle to Bargo, wherever that is. $220. Dog tummy rubber.
$50.
Well, then that's a bit weird.
Dress my Persian cat.
Hold on.
$50.
Hold on. Let's go to Chris from Ipswich. Hello, mate.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Yeah. Have you
they look great. Yeah. No, man. I'm with Mector NZ. Great concept. Went online. Gave them a week's notice. A guy called Shaviz from Redland.
Yeah.
Never showed up.
Oh.
Comes the day. Got to move the container. Had to load it myself. And still waiting for my money back. So...
Oh,
the cash thing might work, mate.
We
had to prepay. Prepay online.
Chris.
Anyway, name and shame him. Chaviz is his name.
All right. No, that's
not shame him, Chris. Still waiting for his furniture to be picked up.
Sam from the Gold Coast. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
Chris. Sam from the Gold Coast. A mate of mine got paid $150 on Airtasker to bury a lady's dead dog in the back.
Oh, bloody hell.
I wanted more than 150.
Niche.
How much for a cremation?
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
I hope I'm not going to sneak up on you here, Margo, but can we talk cricket again?
Again?
Yeah.
That'll be three times in an hour.
No,
goodbye
it's
to
been
all
two
our
hours.
Non-cricket-loving people.
No. Well, what I want to talk about is, do you know who Pat Cummins is, the fast bowler?
Yes.
Okay, so he'll be featuring tonight against Pakistan in the World Cup semi-final.
Of course.
But I read an article about the other day because they reckon he's going to take over as the test captain of Australia. Tim Payne, their wicket-keeper and captain, is 36,
oh,
I
we're
think.
Actually really talking cricket again?
No. I'll take a diversion here in
okay,
a second.
Okay, good.
And the article was just going, we haven't had a fast bowler as the captain of Australia in something like 70 years.
Mm.
And that was only for one test. And they're going, there's a big leap, but this man is unreal. He's like a high school prefect. They went back to his family days when he was three. This is the world's number one fast bowler, okay? His sister, when he was 3 years of age, he offered her a lolly and she was in the bathroom or something, in the bathroom. She slammed the door on his finger, right hand, okay? He's a right-hander. He's taken off. The top of his little finger just got...
Is he missing it?
I didn't know that until I read this article.
Just the tip.
I love people who are missing pieces of their
finger
because we don't need all of them and all that length. I always say the little finger is just a passenger. It's doing bugger all. It's just hanging around with some other fingers.
Yeah.
But you'd think for a fast bowler, because now I'm going to get technical, because it gives you outswing a lot of the time, that big finger. He lost the top of when he was three years of age.
Don't worry about his bowl. How does he flip the bird properly?
That's a good question.
Right. Here's the other one. Angus Crichton, you know, plays for Origin for New South Wales.
To do it left-handed.
Plays
That's
for the
awkward.
Roosters. No, he lost his. He got his down to the second knuckle. He can't do the bird either.
And even just like if you're giving someone
can't do
the forks out the window.
No forks.
It's like a half
That isn't
fork.
What I wanted to talk about. There's a lot of documented stories of footy players getting, when they get dislocated, or get dislocated because all the ligaments and tendons are loose, so their finger keeps popping out.
They just get rid of it.
They go, yeah, do you want to have a few games off, or will we just chop it off? Chop it off.
Corey had a compound fracture in his
finger.
Chop
it off.
No, it's just a bit bent.
Chop it off.
I don't reckon
Look
it's
at my
a disadvantage.
Fingers. Chop that one off. Chop that ring finger off. Talking with, there was a guy who played for the Weagles, West Coast Eagles, Daniel Chick, with Ben Cousins that era. He chopped his off because he was dislocating it. And I just want to go, I want to acknowledge on Pat Cummings Day, I'll call it. I want to acknowledge.
What, today?
I'm talking about his finger and, you know, thought I'd base it on him. I want to know, I'm fascinated when people lose digits. You can still get on with life. You can still achieve.
Oh, well, I hope so. But people do a lot more with a lot worse.
I know. It's a minor disability.
Would that classify for Paralympics?
Don't think so.
Aren't there different classes of disability?
I don't think it gets in there.
No.
Missing finger. See? Normal.
Unless
archery, maybe.
Is there a disabled arm wrestling category? I don't know.
You still pull the string. Kirsty from Capero, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Is it you that's missing a digit, Kirsty?
It is indeed.
Tell us about it.
What happened?
Well, I was in grade 10 and I was horse riding with a couple of girlfriends of mine and galloping up a hill at Bunya.
Yeah.
And fell off the horse.
Did he bite it off?
No. I was being doubled and I had my fingers in the back of the saddle of a stockman saddle.
Oh.
Yeah, and it just ripped off.
Oh my God.
Which hand?
Which finger? Left hand.
Left hand, which finger?
Left pointer finger.
Oh, you haven't got the Peter.
Just pointing. Above the first knuckle. Goodness. So I have a little bit of the top of my knuckle there, so I can like move it.
Do you do
the really
worm?
Good? Like if I put my finger to my nose,
yeah.
It kind of doesn't fit up my nose.
But it looks like you're picking.
What a good party trick! Yeah.
It is like it kind of looks like I'm picking my nose, but it doesn't fit up my nose.
Well, the thing is, you can't play the guitar, so you may as well have a trick at a party. That's unreal, Kirsty.
Oh, absolutely, well, not good. It's amazing.
Can you still hold a cocktail glass, Kirsty?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an admin, so I can still type.
Just stumpy.
You can do all of the things. Well, why don't you bring you and your stumpy finger along to Margaritas with Margot? Would you like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, diversity
at
the day.
She can come to lunch and show us how to do her party trick.
Disabled people.
Pretend to pick a nose.
Neil, thanks, Kirsty. She sounded like a beauty. Neil from Fig Tree Pocket. What happened, mate? Is it you?
Yes, it's me.
What happened?
I didn't lose my digit. I've lost part of my digit.
Okay, which one?
Ring finger on the right hand.
Oh, no. Yeah, ring finger. Yeah.
Ring finger, right hand. Okay, so you can still wear your wedding band. How did you lose it, Neil?
I could still wear it anyway. But anyway, I do lawn mowing and I stuck my finger in the top of my ride-on mower and it got stuck between the pulley and the belt.
Wow.
And just looked like a little cut, but unfortunately got infected. And spent 9 days in hospital as I was cleaning it up and the... in the end, the bone died. So the doctor said, we can either fuse it back together or we can lop it off. And I said, lop it off. Lop it off. Get rid of it. But they said, no, we won't do that anyway. So what they did was they took the top joint out and fused the tip of my finger back to the rest of the bone. So I'm missing a joint in my finger.
Have you got it in a jar or anything?
I wish I did. Yeah, no, I haven't.
Do you feel disadvantaged by it at any point, Neil?
Life goes on. It was actually meant to have a little bend in the end. They were supposed to put a bend in the end, but they didn't do it. So it sort of sticks out a bit.
Neil, great story. Dallas, we'll go with one more. Dallas from Acacia Ridge. What's the story with the missing digit?
It's not me. It's me dad and me brother. I've got a double whammy, mate.
Oh, Jesus. No, dad and brother. What, did they lose it at the same time?
Well, it's a bit weird. Well, they both got a finger missing, right? My little brother's got his index finger missing down to the second, like all the way down to the first knuckle.
Yeah.
On the right hand. My dad's got the next digit over, missing down to the first knuckle. They're both born on Friday the 13th. March. Friday 13th, 30 years, nearly 30 years apart, and there's both accidents, they're not birth defects. Dad used to work in Arnott's biscuits when he was younger.
Yes.
And apparently got it mixed up in the mixer or one of those things.
Oh, no, don't tell me somebody's eating your dad's finger in an ice phobo.
Serious, mate. And then when my little brother, Roger, was young, he was only about 12, 18 months old, sitting downstairs and friends of the family and the older brother and sister, they were all on the bush fight. And he was sitting beside the bush bike and decided to put his finger in between where the chain and the main frog is.
That's stupid, I don't know.
And they just rolled forward, went to take off, and it just went, whoop.
Did he want to be like Dad, do you reckon?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo, I know you insisted that we talk a little bit more cricket because you're such an enormous fan of the intricacies of the game and you'd like to analyse last night's semi-final victory by New Zealand over England and you want to talk about Australia-Pakistan on T20
tonight. Well, I've learned so much already, Marto, about the fellow who scored all
the
runs.
The son of the All Black, who scored 72 runs last night. Listen,
Matthew Hayden is the coach, the assistant coach of Pakistan.
Exactly.
Justin Langer is the coach of Australia. Look, I know cricket.
I know you, and you love cricket. But I just brought somebody in because I thought at times you don't know everything about cricket.
Oh,
so I thought I'll get in
someone, a professional.
Howie, Mark Howard from the Howie Games, Triple M cricket head caller. How are you, mate?
G'day, Margo. G'day, Margo. It doesn't sound like you need me. You sound like Margo's all across it and you're good to go.
I wrote some things down for her to say.
Take it till you make it.
I know all about that. Don't worry about that. I'm all across that situation.
Now, can we quickly talk? Last night, the T20, it's been going for 3 weeks, but it finally got interesting last night. Can you give everyone a wrap-up of what happened when the Kiwis beat the Poms?
Yeah, it was an extraordinary game of cricket. England obviously had gone through until the last game where they got rolled by South Africa, looking like the team to beat. They had a couple of injuries, though. Roy and Mills. Roy was the key at the top of the order and Mills was their death bowler. So that really hurt them. They came up against the Kiwis, who are an extraordinary team. Just get it done, time in, time out. So they made 160-odd, 4 for 166. England, they looked home. 57 off 4 overs, 5 wickets down. New Zealand looked absolutely gone. And then you said Mitchell and Neesham just started going whack, 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 hitting sixes everywhere. And in the end, New Zealand won. So they're in the final, which is extraordinary because they won the ICC World Test Championship where they beat India. They would have won the 50-over World Cup except for an overthrow that hit Ben Stokes' bat and went to the boundary. And now they are in the T20 World Cup. And there's 5 million of them. They love rugby. They occasionally play cricket. And they're a dominant team, and they play cricket the way it should be played. So good luck to the Kiwis.
Howie, did you hear me telling Margo? You know that Mitchell, Darryl Mitchell, who scored the 72? That's his old man, used to play for the All Blacks and coach the All Blacks, John Mitchell.
Well, that's how good they are down there. They just sort of play rugby and cricket and dominate.
Well, they only have 12 families, and they're able to be the best in rugby and now the best in cricket. They're incredible, Margo.
They are an extraordinary team. So England out, which is just a tremendous shame for cricket that England aren't in the final. And then the Aussies obviously play Pakistan tonight at 1 a.m, I reckon, on Fox Cricket, which is a massive game.
Mark, tell me, I asked Marto the question, but I'll ask you. Matthew Hayden, how does he become the assistant coach of Pakistan?
Well, now this is a good question. He became the assistant coach of Pakistan because the man in charge of Pakistan as a country, the former dashing all-rounder, Imran Khan, said to the Pakistan Cricket Board, you need to get Matty Hayden on board. Why he said that, I don't know. But seriously, Imran said he's the man to get on board. And Matty's been there a short period of time and from all reports is absolutely loving it. But it gives a nice little story. The two blokes that were in love with each other opening their batting for Australia, Langer and Hayden, are pitched against each other tonight. But yeah, the man in charge of Pakistan said we need Matty Hayden, a good Queenslander.
Imran Khan. Well, Imran Khan, of course, played Jemima a season Khan's here for... husband. We don't care about his wife. Imran Khan played a season here for Queensland. So I guess that's how Matty Hayden became mates with him at some stage over the years.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but Matty has been tremendously impressed. I read some quotes yesterday in the paper that he was talking to Robert Crash Craddock, your man up there, Australia's number one cricket journo, talking about the fact that when they played against Pakistan as the Australians, they thought they were a little bit of a flighty side, a very emotional side, and he said it is completely opposite. They're a very spiritual group. They're very centred. They're very team-oriented. And the other great news coming out, talking about Pakistan, Margo, is that for the first time in 24 years, Australia have agreed to tour Pakistan. They've obviously had a lot of problems over there with a terrorism attack many years ago, and they haven't seen cricket in their home country. So Australia goes over there for 3 test matches in March and some white ball cricket. That would be one of the great cricket tours, I reckon, because the Pakistan nation have been starved of cricket, so they will be hanging out of the trees to watch the Aussies in action.
Hey, I heard you've got cricket star Mitch Marsh on the Howie Games.
Yes, Mitch Marsh came on a while ago. He's a very open man. Talks about, you know, going out to play cricket for Australia at the MCG and being booed by his home nation's fans and how much that broke his heart. But he'll be a massive key overnight. He was big with Warner in the game that got us through against the West Indies. But the thing you need to keep an eye out for tonight, Margo, when you're watching it at 1 a.m. on Fox Cricket, because I know you'll be staying up.
Where else would I be?
She laps it up.
They are playing in Dubai. And of the 10 games in Dubai, 9 games have been won by the team batting second because the dew comes in and affects the game. So the most important thing Aaron Finch needs to do tonight is win the toss and bowl.
And Margot knows that because whenever she used to go shopping in Dubai, she'd have a little bit of slip problems when the sun went down. Howie, we'll all be watching Fox this morning. I think it's midnight here in Queensland, so thanks for the wrap-up, mate.
Set the alarm.
No worries. Take it easy. Enjoy the cricket tonight, Margot.
I will. Thanks, Mark.
You can always catch up with KO Mini's ICC T20 Cricket World Cup condensed match highlights if you need a KO. Start your free trial today.
The Big Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30 on Triple M.
No more cricket.
We love cricket at Triple M.
No. What I want to talk about is women's soccer and also women's ice skating. Do you remember the movie I, Tonya?
Yeah, with Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie, can you...
Of course, Gold Coast Girl.
Do you remember what it was about, the concept of the movie?
The two figure skaters, yes. Tonya Harding and whatever the other one...
Nancy Kerrigan.
Yep. And Tonya got a bit jealous and competitive, overly competitive.
Well, they were both vying to get on the women's Winter Olympic ice skating team in 1994.
Didn't her husband or ex-husband or something have her beaten up? Or
yeah, Tonya Harding assaulted. Got her boyfriend to beat the crap out of Nancy Kerrigan's legs. Thus, she was unable to qualify for the US Championships. Didn't go to the Olympics. Well, she ended up going to the Olympics and got a silver in the end when she recovered. Tonya Harding went. She came eighth. Anyway, it's a story of sporting jealousy. And I'll bring you one from Paris. Paris Saint-Germain are the main soccer team in Paris, the men's team.
Saint-Germain.
So they've got a wonderful women's team. They're the premier team in France, best team, leading the table this year. Righto, last week they had a team dinner at this restaurant, and it came to 10:30 at night time, and a number of the girls lived in the same suburb. And there's this new girl that came up from Barcelona. She's a French girl, went to Barcelona in Spain, came back, champion soccer player. So she went. They put her straight into the number one team. Okay,
ruffled a few feathers.
It did. It put her nose out of joint, and one in particular, this other girl called Delali, she said, "I'll give you a lift home." Okay, and they hopped in the car, lived in the same suburbs, and you know, it's nearly 11. On the way, two masked men jumped out, stopped the car, pulled both of them out. One of them held on to the Delali, the girl whose place had been taken in the team. But they grabbed the other girl. Oh, God, her name's a really long one. Hamraoui. They grabbed her, the really good player. And same thing as the Kerrigan attack, got metal bars and just bashed up her legs really, really badly. Didn't break them, but seriously, seriously bruised.
What happened to the other girl, Delali?
Masked men ran off and left her unharmed, which everyone went, wow, that was weird. Why didn't they beat you up as well? Why did they just beat her up? Righto, so they were going, they went, what's going on here? They didn't
know. That's awful.
Yeah, they didn't even suspect until about 4 days later. They did a bit of digging. This is what the cops do now, and found out teammate who'd been dropped to the reserves arranged for these two hitmen to bash her up.
Gosh.
It's one of the big stories in French sport. Oh yeah, so she's in a little bit of trouble, Tonya Harding style.
Oh my gosh!
How serious are you about your sport?
Marto's thought on sport with a big breakfast, a Triple M.
Margo, remember a couple of days ago we were talking about the global supply problems, supply chain problems affecting motor vehicles, and getting a service would take you 2 or 3 weeks to get into a mechanic. They haven't got any parts. Panel beating's a problem. They can't do anything. And we went, we should try to talk to somebody. Well, we finally got him. Who were we about
Rod
to talk
Cam
to?
He's the Group CEO of Motor Trades Association Queensland. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning, team. How are we?
Yeah, good. It's not just the construction and building industry that are short on supplies. The automotive industry is as well.
No, the automotive industry, without question, is in the midst of what could easily be called as a perfect storm. And I think Marto described it pretty well.
Hey, could you go through it? We're not just hearing about cars not being built because of the semiconductor chips, etc. But on the ground level, people, everyone driving to work right now, what delays are they experiencing?
So it really depends on what you need done. But certainly even the basic things like servicing of vehicles, if you need anything a little bit out of the ordinary, particularly if it then involves parts, you could be waiting until early next year. We were up in regional Queensland last week and we spoke to some mechanics who were saying they weren't taking bookings for this year anymore. They're looking at February. And once there's fuel filter shortages. Yeah.
What about if my car breaks down today, which is a chance most days when I drive? what do I do? I can't just ring somebody and say I need to book in for tomorrow.
You have to ring around.
You've got to ring around, or you go to the mechanic that you've always gone to, and they'll absolutely do their best. If you crack your bumper, though, let me tell you, if you need a repair, that's a real challenge because all of the spray painters and panel beaters out there can't get them. So guess what? They're going back to the old world of they're genuinely needing to repair all these parts. And that's a new skill.
Rod, in the construction industry, labourers are having to go back to old school methods of building trusses and steel posts themselves because the manufacturing they can't have access to. Are we going to see manufacturing brought back into Australia again in the motor vehicle sector?
Gee, let's hope so. I think that'd be a great move. Australia's already Yeah, Australia's got a great, even now, a proud tradition of what they call niche manufacturing. So sure, we can't build full motor vehicles and things, but we can build all the parts that go around it. You know, if you have to replace a headlight now, it can cost you $4,000.
Yeah. What?
So people are trying to fix them.
What, are you serious?
Yeah, some of the high-tech cars, yeah, absolutely. So be careful of those rocks coming the other way.
Righto. So it's not just a beat-up that we were reading an article the other day. It is real. So therefore, people must be going broke, are they?
Well, the challenge is the industry, it's a nice problem to have in that there's so much work. But the problem, as you touched on in the introduction, is they can't gear up. And by that I mean normally what you do, you'd say, gee, I've got all this work coming in. I'll put on more mechanics or I'll put on more panel beaters. You can't get them, and there's a reason for that. Now, apprenticeships are through the roof. Like there's been a 35% increase in apprenticeships in the last year. That's great, but that takes time. But how you used to solve it is interstate migration. You'd poach people from interstate who want to come up to the warmer climates.
Yes.
That stopped. And, of course, in international skilled migration has stopped in its tracks as well. Now, that's normally how you fix these short-term problems. So if you talk to shop owners who haven't been on the tools for years, they're all back on the tools.
So therefore, are you noticing mechanics getting paid more? I heard a story the other day, this carpenter's able to charge themselves out at $95 an hour. That's where they're getting charged out at. The same thing would be going. Mechanics' wages would be going way up, wouldn't they?
Well, let's hope so. I think the industry's never been great at that, in that the industry hasn't always been great at pricing the true value of its work, and that means that impacts on wages. But that's happening now. People are realising that the sheer technology washing through this industry, they need a highly skilled people. The only way of attracting them is to pay them better wages. So, yeah, that is certainly happening.
Rod and Margot, I don't know if you've noticed, mechanics in the old days used to be really slim. Did you notice that when they used to have to slide under the car? Now they've all got the hoist. Have you noticed that, Rod, that mechanics are getting a little bit bigger because now they just reach above their head and they're working, you know, at shoulder height?
To use a cricket analogy, that's the perfect outswinger that I'm going to let go through to the keeper.
Okay, thank you. Rod Camp, you've been wonderful. Group CEO, Motor Trade Association Queensland. Thanks, mate.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo,
I don't want to do this, but Channel 9 have forced my hand. I'm going to have to give this a run again. Not enough news for an hour-long bulletin. And I don't want to be boring, but it's
only
about
just yesterday we did this.
And it's about the same thing as yesterday.
Oh, no.
3 days in a row, they've got Channel 9 have got a young reporter up there in and around, well, she was at Shute Harbour, and then, you know, she was at Airlie Beach, looking for George Clooney, two-time world sexiest man.
You're
and
not
Julia
telling me
Roberts.
There's more news about something that wasn't news. Newsworthy to start with.
Is this what I'm talking about?
A fleet of boats bobbing on the majestic turquoise waters. Even from a distance, we know exactly who's on them.
No, we don't. And listen, love, if you want to annoy him, go to Getaway. If you want to run a travel show, Channel 9 have got a vehicle for you. Head over there, please.
It is making North Queensland very appetising, isn't it? I want to go up there.
Appetising.
Enjoy the crystal blue water.
Yeah. But that's a Getaway thing. If you got a photo, if you can get me a picture of George Clooney or Julia Roberts in a bikini, only too happy. But
she
you
spotted
got,
them yet?
Got nothing.
We're on the very edge of the marine exclusion zone here in Sid Harbour. We can't go any closer, but we have found the film crew and we've been told rehearsals are well underway.
Film crew.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I want to see Julia Roberts. Yeah. I want to see George Clooney.
That's exactly right. But who have we got? And have a listen right at the end, because they've hired water police to keep knuckleheads
people
like this
away.
Girl out.
Water police keeping star spotters at bay.
Yeah, he's not even out here today anyway.
Did you hear that? He's not even out here today anyway.
What happened to the good old days of the paparazzi, like in America, with the big, big, long lenses that go for a metre and they just snap you from 100 metres away?
Thank you.
What happened to those?
I know.
Where are they?
Did you hear where they were, though? They're in Sid Harbour. Now, if anyone can't remember what Sid Harbour's famous for...
Sid Harbour is a popular anchorage for boaties, protected from the wind, perfect to make movie magic, but it does have a murky past. It's the same body of water where three people were mauled by sharks in separate incidents in 2018.
Clooney's only going to have one arm when we get rid of him.
I wonder if George Clooney knows the actual story about... Do you know why Sid Harbour's called Sid Harbour?
It's C-I-D Harbour.
Yeah, that's the name of the dog of Captain James Cook who sailed through
there. Is that right? Did he get munched by sharks?
He buried his dog there. It died on the boat.
Why would you bury it? Just throw it over. It sounds like sharks.
Apparently the rumour is they shot it by cannon. And it landed on the island, and that's why they called it Sid Island.
Spectacular.
Grim.
It's the story I got told.
Who's picking the site location to send George into? Is it Alec Baldwin? Has he decided on this?
Stop it.
Jeez. Come on.
Big breakfast. What is the movie called anyway that they're filming? Does anybody know?
Who cares?
Triple M, and it is The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo and the Vodafone Ashes Test Series at the Gabba, obviously from the 8th to the 12th. And some of the days are almost sold out, I hear. But if you want to be at day one, all you do is you go to the Listener app, look it up. You just search Triple M Cricket, obviously, because we're broadcasting the Ashes this year on Triple M. So go to the Listener app. Follow the prompts once you've searched Triple M Cricket and you could take three mates to day one.
I heard Josh give one away yesterday to Mark. He rang back within 30 minutes. It was tremendous.
Well, that's what you've got to do. You register, you listen for your name to be called on the radio, and then you win tickets to the Ashes. Anyway, good luck for that today.
You know what else you register for? That's Workplace Rockups, Marto. That's where we, Triple M, feed the tradies of the nation. Because yesterday I headed down to Rochdale and I met up with the girls from the Tasty Fresh Van, Casey and Micah. They've got 21 vans in Queensland. The girls were telling me.
Red van. It's incredible. Yeah. They've taken the
traditional Smoko truck and they've turned it on its head.
Oh, no, it's
they've got everything on it, Marto.
I mean, every tradie loves a pie and a sausage roll.
Yeah.
We do beautiful quiches. We do a thing called Tasty Dog, which is a cheese cranksy wrapped in really buttery pastry. They love everything. We've got hot dogs, beef and gravies, all the standard stuff, you know. Jeez. Everybody loves it.
I love it.
Incredible.
It's
feeling
my
hungry,
it's my
boys.
Wednesday lunch.
Get the tasty food van out to your work site. Yeah. But I went down and saw the boys from Raw Corp there at Rochdale.
They're taking the mickey. I fed them over at Chermside at a building site there, fed them down at Wynnum and somewhere else there.
I'll let him tell you because there was a familiar face or two.
Really?
There. Now, here's a familiar face. I've seen this one before. We're out at Raw Corp at Rochdale, but we came and visited you at Wynnum. How many times have you had us turn up?
This will be the third time lucky. We had one at Chermside, now at Rochdale, and another one at Wynnum.
Have you got any more projects we can come and feed your blokes?
Yeah, there'll be another one at West End that I'll get the guys to enter probably in the next week or two. So, yeah, fourth time lucky for me.
And that's what happens.
They got sites all over the place, Marto.
Yeah, but they keep changing the name slightly. we don't recognise. they're buggers.
What do Raw Corp do? Can I ask you then, what are you guys doing out here? What are you building?
Starting two-phase townhouse complex, 47 townhouses in the first stage and 84 in the second. Probably about mid-2023 finish.
Never know what to expect when you turn up at work sites. You know, sometimes there's only two or three in the business. Sometimes there's hundreds of them.
Well, normally at peak we'll run over 100. So once we've got finishing trades and we're doing slabs and frames as well, so plus swimming pool, so we'll have all the trades here.
They come draining out when they know there's food on. Yeah. You go, it seems pretty quiet. They just come draining out of this building and you go, what could I feed all them?
they come from nowhere. I thought I'd met half of them. Yeah. And then another half turned
up. Coming.
Guy Morris.
Rod. Jackson.
Ned.
Fraser.
Cameron.
Martin.
Lucas.
Sean.
Les.
Dandy.
Trim Pork.
Jordan.
Carlos.
Johnny.
Jason.
Joel.
Jamie.
And Glenn.
There's a few of them.
And that wasn't all of them, I bet.
Hello to all of the boys out at Raw Corp. They've got the framers out there and the scaffolders. Actually, I told you I'd talk scaffolding. Yeah. SLS scaffolding, Marto was saying, they can't get a scaffolder. They say the boys turn up, it looks good from the ground apparently, and then they get up there and they're scared of heights.
What
scaffolder applies for a job who's scared of heights?
I swear to God. Where have all the Kiwis gone? Because I always said if the Kiwis can make it to the moon, it's going to be via scaffolding. That's how they'll get there.
Well, he said because everybody's – I asked this question, and he said because everybody's moving and settling their house because real estate's so good, they're all in furniture removals.
Oh, my God, the big strong
they've
guys.
All got, they've all bought
and
trucks.
And at the mines, somebody else said
out in the mines. But they've all bought trucks and they're moving furniture.
Moving stuff.
Yeah, but anyway, SLS, if you're looking for a job and you're a scaffolder, they need you.
Well, if you want the tasty fresh lunch van to come to you, you can go to triplem.com.au and register there. The boys at Raw Corp are doing that right now.
Robbie and the boys at Raw Corp, we'll see you at West End.
Yeah, and you can check out what they've got at tastyfresh.com.au.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Marto, I know you're just about to talk about cricket, but don't forget that you can... Sorry, Margo. You can
you hear that sigh?
Sorry.
Don't give the opposition warning, because I was going to sneak up on Margo and start talking
lesson
cricket.
Lesson learned, I'm sorry.
Now she's ready for my ambush.
But yeah, I'm ready.
All right, did you hear Brett do the sport in the news there, talking about New Zealand beat England in a bit of a boil over, and that's one of the semi-finals in the T20 World Cup, okay?
Okay.
You still with me?
Yeah, I've just written it down.
The guy who scored 72, Daryl Mitchell, this is interesting point about to come up here. Daryl Mitchell scored 72, won them the game. England were cruising and he just went nutso. He's the son of John Mitchell, former All Black. I used to play against him, and then he went on to coach the All Blacks, coached America. He was the assistant coach of England under Eddie Jones until about 4 weeks ago when he had a day off. Eddie said, well, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to watch my son play cricket, Daryl, who scored the 72. Eddie said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. And he's no longer assistant coach of England.
Oh.
All right, that's side note.
Eddie
let's talk
Jones.
Cricket. Okay. Eddie Jones is a Muppet. Anyway, let's talk cricket
family
tonight.
Comes first.
Hey?
Family comes first.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. And now he's got another coaching job over in England. John Mitchell is fine. But that's incredible that the son of an All Black can
play cricket.
All right, so England are into the final on the weekend. So tonight at tonight at midnight, Australia plays Pakistan, and you normally go, oh, yeah, who cares about Pakistan?
Aren't they really good?
Coach of Australia, Justin Langer. Assistant coach of Pakistan, Matthew Hayden. What year were you born?
1985.
Oh, well, you'd know them so well. You would have spent most of your teenage years watching them.
They're batting innings, Marto. Incredible.
You can't never.
She's delirious.
They were such great mates. For about 10 years, they were our wonderful opening partnership, and they demolished teams, and they were responsible for much of that success that you watched Australia enjoy as a teenager growing up.
I know Matthew Hayden, Marto. His daughter and I have trained together. We have the same personal trainer. Gracie.
This isn't about you. This is about two of the greats of Australian cricket. Tonight we'll be in opposite dressing rooms. You got to watch. Oh, well, maybe it's up to. It doesn't start until midnight, but you got to watch the replay eventually.
Yeah.
It'll be magnificent. So get stuck into it because Matty Hayden. Yeah, start playing the song. I've just about run out here. Matty Hayden's been sitting down reading the Quran with the players in the Pakistan team. It's an incredible story.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
I've had enough of it.
REM at 104.5 Triple M. This is the Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
133353, ring us anytime. Apparently something's gone on. Give us a yell if you're coming up the M1 where it splits off into the gateway at the 8 Mile Plains there. Some big accident has just occurred. Give us a yell and update us.
Marto, this week we saw No Time to Die, the Bond film, the last installment of the Daniel Craig franchise, his fifth and final Bond film premiered this week in Sydney, and the red carpet was hot to trot. There were TV personalities, there were actors and actresses, there were influencers and reality TV stars, of course.
Did he come out here for it?
No, he didn't. He was at the one in London, of course, where we saw Kate Middleton shine in that beautiful golden dress with the cape. It was incredible.
Wow.
The Who's Who,
this
obviously.
Is my cricket. I don't think Marto saw that.
No. The Who's Who of Hollywood turned out for it. The Who's Who of Sydney turned out. We had a Brisbane premiere here where the Who's Who turned out. Our producer, Jack, who does the Last Person Standing quiz, a very important man in Brisbane, he made the red carpet, Marto. But that's not what I want to talk
about. Did you go?
No, I didn't.
Did you get invited?
I wasn't invited, no. But that's all right.
Is this what this is about?
No,
you're going to write some quiz questions and you'll get
it. It's not, actually. What it is about is of course, that it is the last installment of Daniel Craig's franchise of the Bond series. We've seen Sean Connery. We've seen Pierce Brosnan.
How many Daniel Craig do?
5.
He's not a bad rig. Did you like him in those European...
He's pretty fit. European trunks.
Trunks, yeah.
It's not bad. if I look like him, I would wear trunks too, Mario. He's had enough.
Is he a plumber or something? What's he going to do now?
I'm not sure.
He'll be okay.
Paid his house off?
He'll be all right.
He did a very awkward red carpet interview at the London premiere.
Any sadness about this being the last time you're going down to the red carpet?
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know how much I miss this, but I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I'll think about it tomorrow.
You wouldn't do a Sean Connery and make another one down the track?
Nope. Definitely not.
Do you have any preference on who the next James Bond should
be? Not my problem.
Not my problem. He was very short and sharp, straight to the point. Are you going to miss this? Well, I'm definitely not going to miss this red carpet kind of stuff. They hate doing that, but they have to do it. They have to turn up and promote it. But it leads me to the question, who will be the next Bond? I'm not sure if you want to put your
Hemsworth?
Well, $12 he's paying because, of course, the sporting bets companies have jumped on board. And, you know, I told you I am a member of Bluebet now. Bluebet have...
Can you get on it?
You can get on the world James Bond ladder. Who will be the next Bond?
What, is it Fox? No, what's the guy's...
Lawrence Fox.
Yeah.
He's in there, $34.
Idris Elba, is he still a thing?
Idris Elba is a thing. He's paying $5.
I'm not bad.
Yeah, short odds, Tom Hardy. He seems to be the favourite. He's in there at $3.20. But there were
Do you have to be English?
Justin Timberlake.
You've got to speak English, I
$51.
Justin Timberlake?
$51. And, of course, Robert Pattinson, the Twilight franchise, $61.
Oh, he's still a
Jamie
thing.
Dornan, the 50 Shades of Grey fella, he's at $80. Long odds. But I want to talk about some of the longest odds. And I begin
some roughies. I love a roughie.
I love a roughie.
You just put $2 on and you can win
big. Carl Stefanovic,
playing James Bond.
he is the favourite for the Aussie James Bond, paying $501.
Oh, God. What about Chaz Mostert? Is he on there anywhere?
Followed by Kyle Sanderlands.
Oh, stop
also
it.
Also paying $501. Don't sure any European money. Trunks will be featured.
Taking the mickey.
It would be like a long board short,
perhaps. Oh, my God.
But coming in at the longest odds.
What are the odds?
$1,001.
Oh, yeah, you're going to say me.
Scott Morrison.
Oh, well,
it's more like SCO-no.
Triple N, the Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Great to have Chemist Warehouse on board. You can pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas at Chemist Warehouse. They've got good stuff.
Can I just get a quick question here? I saw yesterday I was in there, Calvin Klein Euphoria. For women, it's $49.99, but for men... it's $39.99. What have you got in it that we don't?
Extra secret ingredients and magic.
Like the kernel. It's a
drop
couple
your
more
pants quick fast, Marto, if I wear that.
Yes,
might wear it in on Monday and I'll let you know.
Well,
you know, if you find a cheaper price on the same item at any other retail store, they'll match it, give you 10% off the difference.
It'd be because of the bottle.
Yeah.
The bottle will be fancier.
Can you remember that the girl told us how many?
Five.
Five? Mm. Five squirts.
Five? That's a lot, isn't it?
We're pretty smelly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just did the sniff test on your shirt you're wearing for our photo shoot today.
Too. I'm not wearing this shirt for our photo shoot.
No, the one that you were ironing. You sniffed the sleeve and
said,
is there any holes in it? And then you sniffed it.
Anyway.
We live in Queensland. It's all
go and check them out. Chemist Warehouse. Big Breakfast. You can catch up on the listener app. Have a good day.
Don't you do that?